Now, every year we seek the Lord and ask Him for a theme for the year. Lord, what focus do you want us to have for our church moving into the new year? And last year it was following through. We wanted to follow through on some of the things that the Lord had put in our hearts. This year, as I was waiting on the Lord and praying, what came to me was this whole area of renewal. That the Lord wanted our lives to be renewed. And the more I thought about it, the more I was excited by it. Because I realized, you know, maybe put that picture on up there for us. They were working on this, the graphics people on the back, and I said, you know, that's really good. Renewal with a crocus coming up out of the snow. See, lots of snow on the ground out there, but you know what? Crocuses are coming. Tulips are going to push their way up eventually. There is a time of renewal. We can look around us during the middle of winter. Everything's bare and bleak and cold, and you think, you know, nothing's going to happen. But you know what? Renewal is happening. Renewal will come. And God wants our lives to be renewed, to have a freshness. The things that have sort of long, you know, laid dormant in our life, He wants them to come to life again. Now here's our key verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. You know, let me just stop at that. I just love that verse. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. We celebrated that just a few minutes ago. How the Lord made a way for us. When we were under judgment, when we were under the penalty of death, eternal separation from God, He came in His kindness and His love towards us. He overcame the law. He overcame the judgment that was hanging over our head. What a gracious, gracious moment that was, and to celebrate. Now, let me just add this real quick here, just in passing. If you want to see a secular, outward depiction of grace and mercy and love and how it overcomes law, you need to go and see the movie Les Miserables that's in the movie theaters right now. What a powerful story. And I've read the book. I saw the production of the play in London, England. I saw it at Stratford. And powerful story, how a life can be changed because of love and how that can be passed on. But how Javert, who's the inspector, who represents the law, he's pursuing him and he's right and he's going to bring justice and he is relentless in his pursuit of Jean Valjean, who is the hero of this story. But it's an interesting look. And I invite you to watch the movie with that in your mind. Javert the inspector is the law and right and justice. And how Valjean was shown mercy by a priest and how it changed his life and his whole demeanor. And he then changed his life to go and do good for others. But how the inspector is still pursuing him. And it's a epic story, classic story, and very well done in the movie. And again, I say it to you because, as someone said, there is really no good story that doesn't incorporate the story. You know that? The story of God's grace towards man, no matter what story that's ever been written, if it's a good story, it has elements of the story in it. And this book in particular, written by Victor Hugo, his whole desire as he wrote that book was to show Christian virtues, show how love and mercy overcomes judgment and law. And a tremendous story, but just another way as Christians, and actually also an opportunity to invite a non-Christian, where you can, might even after the movie, you can sit down and have a coffee and explain to him the story of how God's grace freed us from the law. Anyway, just put it to you in passing, and that verse brings it to my mind. the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Now, how did He do it? Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the key, folks, and this is this whole point of renewal here. Renewing of the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of our spiritual walk. It's not a one-time washing of regeneration. We needed that. We needed that initial cleansing of our sins by Christ and coming alive to Him spiritually. That happens in the washing of regeneration. But it says also the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There is a renewing of the Holy Spirit we need. It's not a one-time thing. It's almost, and I don't even like this term, but it illustrates it. It almost like it leaks. Not like it leaks because of its nature, but because of our nature. We're human. And things become old. And things become commonplace. And things that were exciting and really encouraged us and moved us in the beginning, there needs to be a renewal of it. In fact, in the letters written in the book of Revelation, it talks about a church who had left its first love. You did these things at the beginning, but now you've gotten cold. That's why we need a renewal. There are winter experiences we go through. But you know, there's a purpose in winter experiences. The cold wind strips the old leaves off the branches so that when spring comes, the buds come forth and there's new life, new growth. Many times we go through hard times. We go through winter experiences. We go through breakups and illnesses and things that we say, you know what, I can't see any life in this. It just looks like it's cold and it's bitter and it's blowing. But there are seasons of our life. But I want you to know, whatever you go through, there is a time of spring that's coming. There is a renewal. And what the cold, bitter wind has done in stripping us prepares us for the time of renewal. And that's what you can look forward to. Up through the snow comes a new life, new birth. And I've seen it in my life. I've watched it in the lives of other people. This sense of renewal, a time of renewing. We all need it. And I believe, especially at the beginning of this year, God is focusing to us, say, now this is a time for renewal, to strengthen some of the things that you've experienced but has sort of waned. Now I want to renew it. I want to bring new life into it. And we have structured the first 21 days of this year, starting today, as a prayer, a time of prayer and fasting. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But all of this is part of the renewal process. Now, I want you to see a story in Acts chapter 4. And I'm not going to read all of this, but just a little bit. Peter and John had gone up to the temple to pray. There was a man that was lame. They prayed for him, and he was healed. And he had been there for years and years. I mean, this stirred the whole city. This man that had lain lame at this temple for so many years was now up running around and praising God, and it got the attention of all the people. And it says here, if we start reading in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated men and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. See, this is where our renewal comes from. Not because we're bright, not because we're educated, not because we're so skilled. It's because we've been with Jesus. Life comes from Jesus Christ. Spiritual life. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes from Jesus Christ. You will not receive a good gift outside of Jesus Christ, because every good gift comes from Jesus Christ. He is the source. And so it says here, they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, in other words, they said to Peter and John, you know, just go to the side for a moment here. They conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for this miracle, God for what had been done. All right, let's just jump down later. They return to their own company now, and it says in verse 29, after they talked and told what had happened, they said, let's pray. And so in verse 29, this was their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, it says here they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. These are the same people in Acts chapter 2 who was filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was first poured out, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, several, and I'm not sure of the time frame here, but several weeks or months later, they have this miracle, but their leaders are arrested. They're threatened not to speak anymore in this name. So then they come back to their company. They pray. They say, God, give us boldness. Because these were not empty threats. They saw Jesus crucified. They had saw people who had, were martyred as a result of this. But they said, Lord, regardless of the threats, give us boldness. Confirm your word. And when they did, you know what? They were renewed in the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. The renewing of the Holy Spirit is a perpetual work within our lives, not a one-time experience, but a renewing. There are seasons in our life that we follow God, we serve Him, we're filled, but then we need to be renewed. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. You can be doing well and yet still get weary. There are times of renewal that we need. It's all part of the economy of God. It's not something, oh, something's wrong with me because I need to be renewed. No, that's just the normal experience. We are saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit as He ministers to us over and over again. This whole matter of being renewed. Now, there are some verses here. I just went through the scriptures and pulled out the scriptures where it said that we are renewed. And I'm just going to briefly go over them and give you an idea of where we may be going in the next few weeks as we talk about this aspect of renewal. It says first in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. As we've already been talking about this, our spirit needs to be renewed. It says in Romans 12:1-3, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds need to be renewed. See, we're living in a world that we sense with our five senses, a very physical world. I see this, I see the pews, I see you. I see my home, I see my car, I see the bills I have to pay. And we can get caught up in just that which is physical. But the reality is we're living in a spiritual world with real spiritual values. And like we said over the Christmas season, our greatest need is forgiveness, whether you know it or not. There is a penalty hanging over our heads. The message of salvation and what we commemorated this morning is the prime thing that every person needs to hear. They don't have a felt need. They can't see it. But it's the reality. And as you see it and you act on it, God gives us signs and confirms that it's right. But it's an intangible thing. That's why you have to be renewed. If you're not careful, you can just get caught up in the things of life. You can just be distracted. You can get so busy. Nothing wrong with having a hobby. Nothing wrong with your work and wanting to succeed. But if it takes all our time and our effort, it saps us. And we get weak spiritually. we're not as effective, and we're not speaking, and we're not sharing. You know, they threatened these people and said, "You don't speak in the name of Jesus." They go, "Wow, wow, we can't help but speak." Now, what if that came to today? What if someone in authority came to you and said, "This week, I don't want you to say anything in the name of Jesus"? What would you say? No problem. Never did it last week. Not going to do it this week. Sadly, that's the state we're at many times. These threats would not bother us at all. But when you are renewed, you're like these people. We can't help but speak what we have seen. This, the reality of what we're living in here, is so real and so vivid. You judge. Are we going to obey you or are we going to obey God? We have to share the things. When they returned to their own company, they prayed that they would have boldness to keep sharing, even though the threat of intimidation was over their head. So you can see the reality here and the need to be renewed spiritually and having our minds renewed, that we're not conformed to this world, as it says here. You're not just living your life like everyone else with the values and the principles of everyone else. No, we are spiritual beings. We have been born again. We have our citizenship is in heaven. We live by different rules. We have a different king. We have a different perspective. Now, when that's real and vivid, we are great witnesses. We shine like bright lights. But if we get cold and the color goes off the bloom, the bloom goes off the rose, or whatever the expression is, we don't shine as brightly. That's why we need to be renewed spiritually. We need our minds renewed. It says that your youth, Psalm 103, verse 5, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Colossians 3:9 says that we put on the new man who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that our inward man is being renewed day by day. Ephesians 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you see how many times over and over again it's telling us in the Bible we need to be renewed? That's why we're saved, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then finally in Hebrews 12 and verse 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, that's what we want to do over these next 21 days and over our next sharing in the weeks here in the church. We want to strengthen the hands that hang down. We get weary. Life just tires us out. You need to be renewed. I need to be renewed. I need to be reinvigorated. I need to be excited again. It's like a battery. It goes so long and then you got to recharge the battery. We run down. We run down spiritually. We have to be recharged. There has to be an intention in our life. I'm going to renew. I'm going to put myself on the charger. I'm going to plug myself in again so I can get renewed in the things of the Spirit. And as a church, I think God is calling us in 2013 towards this. Now, as I had already felt this, I looked up in the just normal Bible numerology. Numbers in the Bible mean different things, and there are patterns in the Scripture. Number one is the number of God. That hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Four is the number of the earth, the four corners of the earth, four seasons. You look in four in the Bible, tends to be the number of the earth. Six is the number of man. He was created on the sixth day. And seven is the perfection. Six plus one is seven. We're only perfected, we're only complete when God comes into our life as a man. The number of the Antichrist, 666. Man, man, man. No God, all man. That's the Antichrist. And we can go on and on with numbers. What about the number 13? The number 13 isn't as obvious as some of the others, but as I read, this is what it said. The number 13 brings the test, the suffering and the death. It symbolizes the death to the matter or to oneself and the birth to the spirit, the passage on to a higher level of existence. And I thought as I read that, well, that is really good. That really fits with what we're feeling here, that 2013 is going to be a year as a church we get renewed, we get recharged. We want to move to a new level. You know, I am more excited right now than I have been, and I don't know how much, for the life of our church. There are so many good things in store. God's going to build some things into our life personally. He's building things into our church. I think there will be a natural building that we're going to expand and all of this. But God is preparing us, but He's got to get the foundation strong. You know, if we're going to build, the foundation stones have to be real and cleared off that we're building on something solid. And I think that that's what this year is. It's certainly the beginning of this year. That we're going to reestablish some things. We're going to clean the dirt off of some foundation stones. Things we've set, things we've experienced, but they've gotten old to us, cold. We're not quite as excited as we were before. And the Lord says, stir up. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. God's given you a gift, but it's got to be stirred up, just like, you know, chocolate settles to the bottom of the chocolate milk and things settle. You know, you got to stir it up. Stir it up. Get it moving, part of everything again. And so it is. God wants to stir up the Spirit in our life, that the Spirit gets into every part of your life, not just settled at the very bottom. It's an hour on Sunday that's my spiritual time. No, God wants to stir it up. Get it into your work. Get it into your friends. Get it into your hobbies. Get it into everything you do. Get it into all your thoughts. The Spirit is penetrating and working. You're vibrant. You're strong. You know, this is what God is doing. I want to be part of it. And I think God is calling us as a church to move into this. Now, how does this happen? It happens through a concerted time and set aside to be recharged. And we feel, myself as pastor, the elders of the church, we've talked about this, and we are calling our church to a 21-day period of prayer and fasting, starting today. 21-day period of prayer and fasting to prepare us, to regenerate us, to re-energize us, to be all that God wants us to be. Now, there's four aspects that we're calling. See, in the Old Testament, there were times when the leaders of the nation called the nation to prayer and called them to fast. And there was time set in where everybody did it. It may not have been their choice as an individual, but they were part of the nation. And the leaders said, we're calling our nation to prayer and fasting. And so they responded. And of course, they received the benefit of it. And the same, I'm calling you, members of this congregation, to a time of prayer and fasting. It may not have been something that you would choose on your own, but because you're part of this church, because God sees what He wants to do in your life and in the life of this church, He's calling you to respond to this time of prayer and fasting. And I know if you will, you'll be changed by it. I remember years ago, one of the first times we did this, and this has got to be back, 20 years ago, there was a lady attending the church. Her husband came off and on, not very much. But she came, had two kids, and we called the church to a time of prayer and fasting. He told me after, because he really became a Christian strong in his faith and really got involved in the church after. But at this point, he wasn't. And he said to me, when he named his wife, when she came home and said that we were going to do prayer and fasting, he said, the only thing that affected me was the eating part. And he said, I'm thinking to myself, that church is messing up our lives. And but you know what? He was good enough that he responded and went along with his wife. He told me, he said, that 21 days changed my life. He said, it opened my eyes to something. So I know that if you'll participate, God will use this time to work into your life, even greater than what you might anticipate would happen. Okay, so here's the things, and we can bring these up as we go. The first part of these 21 days is a physical fast. We're asking you to limit what you eat. Now, there's different kinds of fast. There's sort of what's called a normal fast, and that is you abstain from all food and you just drink water. Now, that's quite a strong fast, and I'm not saying that you need to do that for 21 days. Some may, and I have done a 21-day fast just with water, and I have to say that was the hardest fast I ever did physically, was that 21 days only drinking water. I've done a 40-day fast drinking juices. Now, that was hard. It had its own things. But I have to say, if I had my choice, I'd do the 40 days with juice rather than that 21 day with just water. It was hard. Those are sort of like, how do I put it? Fasts that are sort of up there as an ideal. And there may be some of you that are called to do that. More in the Bible, you see what is called like a Daniel fast. Daniel fasted for 21 days when he was praying for something from the Lord, and the answer came. And the angel said to Daniel, from the first day you prayed, I heard you. Well, Daniel fasted, but he did a limited diet. In that Daniel fast, he didn't eat any meats. He didn't eat any desserts. He refrained from wine. And he didn't do cultural anointings of how they would anoint themselves and go out in the public. He limited himself. He still ate other things, but he just limited him. Actually, no desserts and no meat. That was basically what it was. And so what we're saying to you, and you need to decide this as a family and as an individual, what kind of fast do you want to do? That's a powerful fast, the Daniel fast. As I say, it moved the hand of God. And you can read the story in Daniel when he fasted in that manner. So you may do a limit. You might want to say, okay, for these 21 days, we're going to cut out this and we're cutting out that and do it more in a restricted diet. Some of you might say, you know what, we're going to fast our supper meal for the next 21 days. You might eat breakfast, lunch, and fast supper. Or you might do it the other way around. We're going to skip lunch. But you need to decide as a family. But I encourage you, do some kind of fasting. Fasting is a tremendous tool to sharpen your spiritual senses. You become more spiritually aware and keen when you fast. I don't know why it is. I don't know whether it's because you're cutting out natural things and God sees that and it sharpens your spiritual side, but it does. I've done various fasts over different times, and I tell you, every time I've fasted, I've seen results. When I did that 40-day fast, someone reminded me this morning of it after the first service. What prompted me to do that 40-day fast, I heard a man say, fasting increases your spiritual jurisdiction, and it's maintained by humility. And when I heard that, that just penetrated to my heart. I wanted my spiritual jurisdiction to be increased. I wanted the area that I have spiritual influence over to expand. Fasting does that. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus, they tried to cast this demon out of a person. And they said, we couldn't do it. And Jesus said, this kind only comes forth by prayer and fasting. Jesus did a 40-day fast before he began his ministry. Fasting is a tremendous tool. It's one that we neglect many times because it's hard. We don't like it. It's hard on our flesh. But I tell you, once you pray and get what you feel the Lord wants you to do, and you do it, you will see a tremendous spiritual benefit. You know, I had forgotten about it till the gentleman reminded me of it when I had shared that years ago. And it was right after that fast that opportunity came for us to be on the radio. And our spiritual influence just increased. It was after that 40-day fast that the church began to grow. See, spiritual jurisdiction is increased by prayer and fasting. And that jurisdiction is maintained as you continue to walk in humility in it after. So, again, fasting is something that we can just sort of dismiss. Well, that's for the real spiritual people. But it's not. You read in the Bible. It's part of the discipline. It's part of the disciplines, personal disciplines down through the ages. it strengthens. You know, if you say, you know, God never speaks to me. I hear people talking about God speaking to them, or they get a spiritual leading. That never happens to me. You need your spiritual senses quickened. I don't know of any greater tool that does that than fasting. It makes you very much more aware of spiritual things around you. So I just encourage you, talk about it. Don't, you know, if you have any medical conditions, you need to check this with your doctor. I mean, this is not, you know, just being rash and doing things. Healthy people that fast, it's therapeutic. It's actually beneficial because your body begins to burn off the toxins and all the things that are detrimental in your body. Those things get burned off first in a fast. And so it's good to do a fast under normal circumstances. But if you have diabetes or there's other, you know, complications, you be sure to check with your doctor. And there may be other things that you need to be aware of. So I'm not, but look and say, okay, these 21 days, we're in on this. And I'm going to talk to my family about it. And we're going to decide. Or maybe the family doesn't want to, but you yourself, you're going to do some kind of fast for these next 21 days. Now, the next one is prayer. Prayer just goes right hand in hand with this. You're fasting, but you're also praying. So I encourage you to set a time aside every day where you pray. And maybe if you're missing a meal, that's your time. You're going to take that 30 minutes, and you're going to read some scripture, and you're going to pray, and you're going to seek the Lord during that time. Prayer and Bible study, Bible reading. Make it a part of your personal life for these 21 days. Now, also, Wednesday nights, we have our encounter meeting here, prayer time, and we are opening that up, of course, to everyone during this time. Hope that everyone that's participating in this 21 days of prayer and fasting will come on Wednesday nights at 7. It's a night where we pray together, collectively, corporately, for things. So that's going to start 7, and I encourage you, if you make a commitment for these next 3 Wednesday nights. We'll be here Wednesday nights for the prayer time, Wednesday evening. Now, we also feel to open the church on Friday mornings at 10 o'clock, and we will have a directed prayer time from 10 to 11 on Friday mornings. Not everyone's able to come, but if you're able to come Friday morning, come out on the Friday morning, and we'll have a directed time of prayer. Now, we're also opening the church Tuesday to Friday at 10 o'clock for anyone that just wants to come. I mean, that won't be directed, but the building will be open, it'll be warm. You can come in if you just feel a benefit of come here and to pray. We encourage you to do so, and just come in and go as you desire. Now, obviously, you know, you don't have to come to this building to reach God. But then there are buildings that's dedicated to God, and there's nothing wrong with coming to the church to pray, and just for a place of being quiet, and a place you're familiar with, a place where you felt God's Spirit touch you before. So the church will be open Tuesday to Friday at 10, and on Friday we will have a directed time of prayer. And so we're making it available, the prayer time, and encourage you to, you may want to find a reading program. There's lots of resources on the Bible. To read through the Bible in a year. You can go online. There's one-year Bibles you can buy. It's easy. If you go online, just Google, read through the Bible in a year. You can pull down, this is what you read the first day, here's what you read the second day. Avail yourself to be in the Word of God. Say, this is part of my renewal. This is part of my revival. And I'm going to, it's like these 21 days are jump starting. You know, like when a battery gets low and it won't start, and you put the cables on it. I had to do it this morning in my car. I couldn't believe it. Wouldn't start. And so I had to put the jumper cables on it, and it started. And hopefully, though, once you jump it and you get it started, then it has enough energy itself to carry on. We'll see when I try to start it after I leave the service. So don't let me be the last person out of here. I might need somebody to help me jump the car. I'm trying to say, spiritually, see, we're doing some things for 21 days. That's the jump starts. Say, you know what? We're going to break out of our routine. We're going to break out of what we normally do. We're going to seek God. We're going to get renewed in our spirit. And so these are opportunities. Now, the next one is an act of service. I want you to have a journal. Take a little notebook and mark 1 to 21, these 21 days. And what I want you to do is show kindness to somebody. Do an act of service to someone every day. And determine, I'm going to do something every day. It can be as simple as buying someone a coffee. It can be volunteering to help someone do something. You know, and if you're praying every time during your prayer, Lord, let me bring someone across my path that needs my help today. Help me to be a blessing to someone today. I tell you, you pray that prayer, God will orchestrate some connections. You'll come across someone and you go, oh, and then you'll know, here's my opportunity to go and help this person. And it'll put you out. Maybe it's giving them some money. Maybe it's using some of your time that you have to help them do something. But it's a way of showing God's love. We are called into this world to do this, to sacrifice for others. And I love the movie, how this depicts it in the life of Valjean as he moves through his life, just helping people, touching people as he can go, just showing kindness to people. That's what we're to do as Christians. And so I want you to get a journal, mark your days down, and record the things that God has led you to do. And we'll share some of these things on Wednesday nights when you come. Give you an opportunity for those that want to be able to share. This is what happened this week in my life when I did this. So that's the third thing. And I want you to be intentional about it. Because if you start doing it like CPR, you know, you got to do it outwardly to get it going. But then you can breathe on your own. And I hope it won't just be 21 days. This will be something that continues. But for these 21 days, that's really be intentional. Say, I'm really going to pray and ask the Lord to help me. So that's the third thing. And the fourth one is that you would speak to somebody. You would share the Lord with someone. Now, I've already shared with you. When they threatened them and said, don't speak in the name of Jesus, they found that was really hard. Would you find it hard? Or is it just your normal way of living that you don't speak in the name of Jesus? You don't tell anybody about Christ. I want us to be renewed. I want us to be stirred. I want us to say, you know, Lord, and in your prayer time, say, God, give me an opportunity today to share with someone. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this every day. Some have already told me, I'm going to do this every day. And I'm going to believe the Lord I can share and witness to someone every day. You know, it's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of your heart. And if you're praying every day and saying, God, give me a door of opportunity. This is what Paul, in one of his letters to the churches, he had a prayer request. He said, I want you to pray for me that a door of opportunity would be open to me to share the gospel. Paul knew that's the prime thing. And doors have to be open. He said, pray that a door of opportunity would be open. And I tell you, if you pray every day when you get up in your prayer time, you say, Lord, today, would you give me a door of opportunity to speak to someone? Again, God will orchestrate those meetings. And you will be amazed how it goes hand in hand. But you have to be intentional, be praying about it, be ready, and be bold. And you don't have to be weird. You don't have to be churchy. Just be yourself. Just share what God has done for you. Just share and say, you know what? I really believe God will help you in that. And I'm going to pray for you about that as you're talking to someone. Just be yourself. Be natural. But be bold. Be a witness. We're called to be witnesses. This is part of being a Christian. This is part of us that gets laid bare. No fruit. Because we're not renewed in this area. And so what we're doing, we're asking the Lord, I'm going to restrict my physical diet. I'm going to pray and I'm going to read God's word. And I'm going to be showing kindness and love to people. And Lord, I'm going to be intentional that I'm wanting an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, to invite someone to church. I tell you, people pray. 90%, when they do surveys, 90% of the people say they pray. And they may never go to church. But you know what? They have a problem. They go, oh God, if you're there, help me. Lord, help me with this marriage. Help me with this problem. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with these bills. They pray. And if you are alert and sensitive, God will connect you with people that are praying, that are open. You may never, you look at them, you think they're not open, but they're going through difficulty. And if you're sensitive, you can be God's minister to them. And so this is our challenge, and this is the challenge I lay out to you for the next 21 days, that this is a time of renewal. And I hope that you'll respond and be part of it as we go forward. Would you stand with me this morning? Now I'm going to ask you for a commitment today. I want to ask you to commit to do this at whatever level that you can see yourself plugging in. But remember we talked about all in, all aligned. The power of this church is when we all get in and we all get aligned in the same way, God's power is going to flow through our lives. And so I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today. And if you're saying, you know what? I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to do this. I want you to raise your hand as I pray. Just lift your hand up just as a commitment to God. Lord, I want to be renewed. I'm not content. I'm not content just to be where I am right now. I have grown cold. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I need to be renewed. Lord, we lift our hands before you. You see every hand that's lifted. Lord, you are excited about the potential of our uplifted hands. Lord, we want to be renewed. And Lord, help us in these 21 days of prayer and fasting and reading your word and sharing your love and witnessing, Lord, that we'll see great things happen. Move in our hearts and our lives. Stir in us, O Lord, the things of your Holy Spirit. We look to you today. And our trust is in you. Our confidence is in you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.